first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit, did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, March 3rd. Your Vols stand atop of the SEC standings solo.
No one there with us. It's kind of lonely up there, you know?
Listen. I appreciate it. I like the quiet, the calm. I guess It's everything but that, especially this week. You've got knocked off one of them, nipping at your heels. That did not fend off the rest. You have one more standing in your way on Tuesday night. And then one more Saturday night that would really love to bring you down.
Yeah, the good thing is, like, you – you win one more game, you have a share of it. Now, I know that's gross. It's not like, yeah, it's kind of like is the Bad News Bears. He's like, you know, I know a tie is like kissing your sister, but, you know, the way we've been coming along, it's like kissing a really hot stepsister.
Yeah, I think for Alabama and South Carolina, right now a tie would be like kissing a really hot stepsister. For Tennessee, it's just how the old saying goes. So you really don't want to. I think in soccer, I've always said there's ties you win, and there's ties you lose. Tennessee is now in a scenario where they would lose this tie if it comes down to that. So, which is a good problem to have. You want to win it outright. You don't want to lose this tie. You don't want to give Alabama or South Carolina a chance to win their tie. You just want to go win it outright. You heard Nate Oates. That was for the championship. It's over. It's ours. Yeah. Hang the banner.
That's what he said.
Bama's losers now. Bama, they're losers. They're just losers. They lose. That's what they do. And I was going to say for Fail of the Weeks. Can I just run through these real quick, though?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
So, classic, we're going to put on alternate uniforms to try to win this game. Loss. Losers. It's what losers do. Number two, I've never seen security guards ever go through training before. Now they're training for court stormings that just aren't going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's what losers do. Loser. There's a video of it. Losers. They're losers. Mm-hmm. Number three, did you see their warm-ups last night?
Mm-hmm.
The physical.
And
clearly mocking. It wasn't part of their warm-up.
Yeah. They never have that much contact in a basketball game ever.
Typically, I'd say, hey, save that for after the game.
I'm surprised Pat Adams went over there just calling a foul every time they bumped into
him. Right. But typically, I'd be like, hey, say that for after the game. But no, you're just losers. They dog walked you by 20 like a month ago. You don't get to do that. They don't connect. Sakai Ezeagle, Jonas Adu, all of them, they made you their bitch. You can't do that. You're not allowed. You're losers. Yeah. They're losers. They're all losers. Every single one of them.
The overrated chant, that one's another one.
Wait, did they drop an overrated chant on Dalton?
Yeah, College Game Day, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which that's another thing I want to comment. You look at Dalton Connect and you're going, oh, that's not an SEC Player of the Year type performance. Well, they couldn't stop anyone else because all they wanted to do was stop Dalton Connect. And he still scored 13. Mm-hmm. And he was in foul trouble. Pat Adams did his best to make sure he wasn't involved in that game. And it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I think that's the most impressive thing is Tennessee was able to overcome Dalton Connect just not having a great game by his standards, I guess, and everybody else's. I think he'd be the first one to say I didn't have a good game. I mean, he was 1-for-7 from three. You expect, you know, if he scores 20, that game's over.
Yeah. And I mean, didn't play a great game, but the thing is, double teamed, sometimes triple teamed, but he also made some big shots down the stretch of that game too that won you the game.
Yeah.
And then this team, I said this a couple months ago, I think this game was a great example of it. If Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James score 16 points combined, Tennessee will not lose. It won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that if they don't play the way that they did, knowing what we saw from Dalton Knecht and his output, Tennessee probably should lose that game by 10-plus points.
Yeah.
But you got – I mean, your bigs are in foul trouble. Josiah goes and gets a double-double. You know, he makes up for that lack of Jonas Adu and Tobe Awaka being on the floor. Yeah, Vescovi, you know, just being a menace and falling all over the court like he does. But, you know, he's an effort guy. In Tennessee, like, that was a gritty win, and it was ugly. But a team like Alabama who wants to score 150 points every game, scoring 74 and 71 so far this season against Tennessee, that is not the way they want to play. They were frustrated as crap. They played right into what Tennessee wanted to do. Like, Tennessee is comfortable. We can score 90 points. We can. If Dalton Knecht has a really good game, we can score 90 points. But, hey, if we're winning 70-something to 60-something, hey, we can win those too. We can win 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, and what another really impressive part of that performance is basketball is a game of runs regardless. What team can sustain runs defensively, what team can go on strong runs offensively. It's already like that. I feel like this game was even more highlighted where the runs were larger and larger. And it was, can Tennessee weather the long runs from Alabama and then make some of their own? And they weathered a 12-point run in the half, a 7-point run to start the second half, and then go on, I don't know what it ended up being, but a 9-minute stretch where Alabama did not score a point on the floor. That's huge. Looking at, can teams win in March? Well, first off, it's March, by the way. Just want to note that. It's not March Madness, but it's March. If Tennessee can weather runs like that from a really talented Alabama team, especially offensively, I feel, again, really good about where this team's going to be as we get farther and farther down the stretch. As a fan that wants to see championships, we talk about how it'd be nice to get an outright one. They've got to play, 12 more perfect games now? That's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Really hard to do. But, I mean, hey, I'd still like to see it try to get done.
Yeah. If anybody's going to do it, why not
Dalton
us?
Dalton Knecht. Yeah. Sorry, us, to Tennessee and Dalton.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just an impressive team performance. Credit to Rick Barnes and his staff for constantly adjusting. Guys in foul trouble. I'm still not sure how Vescovi never fouled out. That's kind of baffling to me. Felt like he played for 4 fouls from the opening whistle. just all the way hanging around. You didn't see much Tobe Awaka. He earned his 2 pretty early on. And then it just kind of – what Tennessee was doing kind of seemed to work. So why go away from it? You mentioned Josiah played the 5 more minutes than Jonas did last night.
Yeah.
And just an impressive performance. I think Zakai Ziegler, very well-deserved player of the game by ESPN. I think it's Jamai Bayshak, though, is your player of the game. He guarded what felt like 1-5, made some big offensive buckets, didn't have an absolutely incredible game, but you don't win that game without him, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, he was that play or plays, however you want to define it, where he goes and hits that 3 and then, you know, immediately gets back on defense, goes out of bounds, tosses it back into Zakai. He passes it to Jonas Adu for an and-1. I mean, that's winning basketball.
Yeah, that was like, probably the final kind of turning point too.
Yeah, and maybe it's different if somebody else hits that 3, but Mayshak does it, and he's not like going to the crowd, you know, just injecting his veins or whatever. He like gets right back on defense, and maybe he was like, he's not really used to hitting 3s. I don't know. He didn't have a celebration prepared. But it just seemed like it was the perfect time for Tennessee to have a guy that doesn't normally shoot the ball a lot. We said earlier in the season, he's a shooter. He can shoot. Yeah. When he's on, he's on. And I just love how he plays. And, you know, Mark Sears was done after that game. He wanted no more of Jemai Mashak and anybody else with the ball, for that matter. Wanted no more of Jemai Mashak. I mean, he was a pest. And I hate that it happened that way, but I would like more minutes like that. Hey, Jemai, go get their best player. Whoever it is, take them out of the ballgame. Make things difficult. Because, I mean, Mark Sears, he had 22 points. 8 of those were from the free throw line. How many of those were really fouls? Who knows? But
one, he's just dribbling down the baseline, and they're like, sure, we'll give it to you.
Yeah. I mean, he played 39 minutes, so he was going to get his. But, you know, those kind of heaves at the end of the game that were just a hope and a prayer that they're going to get back into it, I think he was gassed. Yeah. I mean, just coming off the front of the rim like that, he was absolutely gassed, and a lot of that had to do with Jemai Mashak. So let's do it. I don't know if we've done a standing ovation in a while, but I feel like we should.
Jemai Mashak, for sure. All around, just an all-around performance. And I talked about him more earlier this year because I don't know if I said it on the show. I know I've said it to some people, though. He's a much more all-around guy version of Yves Pons. Sure, he doesn't have the bounce. Probably doesn't have the same type of athleticism, but he's incredibly athletic, sound defensively, can guard maybe not 1 through 5, but 1 through 4 pretty well.
Yep.
But what he is better than Eves at is he can play on the offensive end without kind of skipping a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And gives Tennessee a lot on the offensive end. I mean, he defended everyone on Alabama's roster last night pretty well. The job on Sears was really good, but a guy that gave Tennessee fits was Estrada last night. And it seemed like when you saw him with Mashak, if something got switched off, you kind of felt a level of comfort, if you will, when you saw that matchup. Because it didn't seem like anyone could guard him. It didn't seem like anyone could stop him. Even Mashak, who played well on him, he seemed to just really get his. Alabama's always going to be the Mark Sears show, but Estrada kind of took it to Tennessee last night. They don't play that well without him last night. I know he wasn't their leading scorer, but he was he felt kind of like who they ran through.
Yeah.
Felt like when the ball touched his hands on a possession, something good was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's kind of like our Zakai. You know, I know Dalton Kinnett gets all the love, but a lot of that offense is there because of Zakai. Estrada had a triple-double the game before this Tennessee game. So, yeah, he's a solid player. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. It's total opposite in coaching philosophies with Nate Oates. I mean,
one's a pretentious douchebag. Y'all let you know who it is.
Yeah. And you know, just lets his players do whatever and get suspended, come right back, get suspended, come right back. Don't understand that, but whatever.
What do you have to do to get suspended at Alabama? They mentioned that Pringle had gotten suspended twice.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how many people did he have murdered to get suspended twice?
Yeah. I know. I don't know. I guess it's still under investigation. They're just trying to get the season over for it to go to trial.
Yeah. Fair.
It's just completely opposite coaching philosophies. Live by the three, die by the three is Alabama. Tennessee is, you know, a lot more defensive heavy. You know, I know things have changed a little bit, you know, with the addition of Dalton Kinnett. But winning 81-74, that's a defensive battle. When you're talking about Alabama, who can score, I think they've scored 90 points in their last 6 SEC games until this one.
You hate to see it.
And 74. And one was with 18 seconds. I think it was a uncontested layup. So almost 72. They barely broke 70. Yikes.
And they got to shoot 25 free throws.
Yeah.
I know Tennessee ended up shooting 29, but let's not forget a lot of those were gifted in the intentional foul scenarios. Mm-hmm. At least 6 were. Which, that was an ugly officiated game. I mean, my God. From both ends, it wasn't. Poor Stevenson, which I think part of it is that ugly mustache just draws a lot of attention to him. Mm-hmm. Shave it off, and I bet you never foul out of the game. He got shafted on some calls.
Who?
Stevenson for Alabama.
Are you talking about Grant Nelson?
Nelson. Sorry, Nelson. Yeah. It was Nelson.
Okay.
That fouled out. Yeah. Yeah, that
who I want to point out, Estrada and Nelson both ranked higher transfer wise than Dalton Connect. I just want to throw that out there a little bit.
Yeah. I bet Bruce Pearl's probably changed his tune about player of the year. He's like, well, you know, Mark Sears scored 22 points and Dalton only had 13. So maybe I should vote for Mark Sears.
Yeah.
But even though they lost by 20 last time they played.
Yeah, but stats don't matter, right? Because it's the best team. So whoever that is. So if I guess South Carolina ends up winning,
it's
Meechie Johnson.
Meechie Johnson. Yeah, it is. Which he didn't mention Meechie in that talk, so I don't, you know, who knows? Who knows what his philosophy follows there? That was another kind of weird thing that wasn't really mentioned in this game. I know a lot of people were disappointed with the Jay Billis show and the Pat Adams show last night, that Tennessee didn't seem to get much credit for just grabbing Alabama by the neck just a month ago and just wringing him. It didn't seem to really get talked about much. It seemed like this game was kind of for all the marbles because of what it meant in the conference. But we know in conference playing college basketball, home games are home games.
Yeah. They only care what you do in March.
Everyone had kind of written this game off as a loss because it was at Alabama, which I think is like there's some fairness to that point. But it's weird. They don't talk about Tennessee got that 7-point win yesterday, but that's a total of I don't remember how much we ended up beating. Was it exactly 20?
Yeah, I think it was 91-71.
Okay, so 27 points now separate these two teams. It just doesn't seem to get talked about. This Tennessee team didn't get enough credit. I'll say it. And I know it's Jay Billis who hates Tennessee after they literally kicked the shit out of Duke last week. I mean, what Purdue did to Philip, I don't know. I can't say his name now. I'm going to
Rowski.
Philip, yeah, that name is nothing to what Urosh did to him.
Yeah. You mean Wake Forest?
Yeah, Purdue, Wake Forest, same colors. Good God. Yeah. I mean, he went on his tirade last year about Tennessee being dirty just has been completely hidden under his keep students off the court. Do you think that's why Alabama did it? They didn't want Jay Billis to start arresting kids.
Probably
citizens arrest.
I know Jay Billis, like, you know, I feel like a lot of this is like, well, you know, they're winning now. Like, it's what you do in March. But I know Jay Billis is going to come back like a week later and be like, well, Duke beat Baylor on December 20th.
Oh, yeah.
They were ranked number 10 at the time, even though I think that's the only ranked opponent that Duke has won. Oh, they did beat Michigan State when they were 18th, but now they're not even ranked. So, yeah, he's killing it.
Just like the funny thing about where Tennessee ends up in March Madness brackets is it's going to come back to bite me. I've been begging them to let the conference tournament matter. This year, Tennessee is going to finish at number 4 in the regular season and then lose, you know, semifinals, quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. And this year, it's going to finally matter what you do in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to play the games, they should matter. I stand by that statement. I just know this is the year that they're going to matter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Tennessee gets a 1 seed. I know that's kind of up for debate right now. It looks like it's between Tennessee and Arizona to see who gets that last 1 seed right now. We'll see how it finishes out. I don't really know who Arizona has left. I doubt it's anybody good. Tennessee has 2 ranked opponents left. But I think it's – I don't care. I would love to have a 1 seed just to say we had a 1 seed. But also, like, I don't care. Like – wherever, I think it's closer if we're a 2 seed because you play in Detroit or Dallas. But if you're a 1 seed, you're going to be in LA, which I guess if you're flying, you're flying somewhere. It's not really a drive to either one of those places. So,
why would Tennessee not get who would get the Charlotte?
I'm talking about 2 seed for the Final Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be the bracket you're in. You'd be like in the West if you were the last 4, last 1 seed.
Okay.
That's what they have projected. I don't really understand how they put people where. I guess it's region based.
I think they try to base you regionally.
Based on like.
Like they attempt to, but then it's also done 1 through 4. Yes.
Okay.
So if there's a one, so
like, last person to get the.
We'd be the last person to get a say. It doesn't necessarily mean we wouldn't be regionally based. Because if all the teams were out west, then you would be the Eastern.
Yeah. So you'd have UConn and
Purdue. UConn, Purdue, and Houston right now.
Okay.
So like there's a chance. I don't remember where all the locations are at this year, but yeah.
Yeah, I know Detroit, Dallas, and LA is one. I can't remember what the other one is, but yeah, I think the projection is you'd be in LA if you're a one seed. Who cares? Who cares?
If you're a one seed, 100%.
Because like Tennessee, I'm not really worried about the Final Four because here's why I'm
have UConn in the East right now.
Okay. Here's why I'm not worried about seeding in the Final Four because Tennessee has been up for every single game. What's up?
We would be in the West bracket, but if we were the one seed today, we would play in Charlotte in the first two rounds.
First round. Okay.
Yeah.
How
they're predicting it right now.
I mean, I'm more worried about that round, I guess, than the Final Four. Because every big game so far this season, Tennessee has been up for. They haven't fallen on their – when they have something to play for, it seems like, it's let's go get this win. Now, some of the losses are very head-scratching. I understand that, and they're frustrating. I get it.
Well, really only two of the losses are head-scratching. One of them less head-scratching than the other. Right?
South Carolina at home is not great.
It's head-scratching. I said it's probably still head-scratching.
It looks better each week because they keep winning. I don't know how, but they do.
Yeah, now you look at it, it's less head-scratching. Mississippi State remains head-scratching.
Yeah, Texas A&M, not great either.
Texas A&M, yeah.
It's just the teams that like you should beat,
right?
Weren't really a toss-up game. You've lost.
Texas A&M also shot. They were playing out of body.
Yeah, ungodly. Yeah, but they've been up for every big game so far this season.
Yeah,
every big game, especially down the stretch. And so I'm looking at the Final Four. Like, I think they get dialed in for those games. I think that it means something to them. Now, if you go play I saw where we were projected a one seed and we played either FAU or Texas. I mean, God, those storylines. I couldn't imagine what they are. Either redemption for FAU or you have the Rick Barnes, you know, playing Texas in the NCAA tournament. I'm like, please don't put me anywhere near those teams. Which FAU is a totally different team now.
Invite them in. We want that. We need it. We're exercising demons. We're
street killers.
Where you've got to play X amount of perfect games to win championships. You have two more perfect to win a regular season. If you want to win in March, you got to keep winning. That's kind of
you're saying just whoever you put in front of us.
Bring them on.
Okay. Yeah. I do like that. I feel confident and probably more confident than I ever have going to an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's not that there aren't teams that can beat you. It's just that you're one of the few teams in the country that can also win every single game in front of you.
Yeah. There's not a team out there that I'm like, man, I don't know about playing them. They look tough.
Yeah. And save your tears of Rick Barnes always. We know. We've watched Tennessee basketball longer, maybe the same amount of time as you, but you're not. Save your breath. We know. We know. The history of Rick Barnes. We know the history of Tennessee. Save it. We're talking about this team and what this team looks like. You know what? Tennessee, historically, Rick Barnes, historically, doesn't win last night. And they did. So shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you cannot write Tennessee off 2-3 weeks ago when they lose to A&M and then not give them immense amounts of credit for what they did last night. You can't do it. If you're going to only write them off, you're a moron. And I don't want to actually, I just don't even want to hear from you, period, on anything sports related.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of teams don't win that game going on a 12-0 run. Like Alabama went on that 12-0 run right before the half to take the lead. It's hard to go into that away locker room and get fired up for that.
Yeah.
Next half, knowing like everybody in that arena is fired up and are ready to explode on you.
You had a Mississippi State fan on the front lines talking trash to you last night. Does he know he was wearing the wrong red? Do you think he still knows? What was he doing?
I didn't see that guy. I don't know.
The guy in the maroon jacket they kept showing?
I just saw the whole picture of Jalen Milroe, Justin Thomas, Nick Saban, and Kalen DeBoer all there to cheer on.
Reese Davis was there too.
Oh yeah, Reese Davis, yeah.
Yeah, they kept showing this guy on the front row of the student section wearing a maroon jacket. Mm. It wasn't crimson. I mean, I'm not super familiar with my color wheel, but it was not crimson.
Well, their red wasn't really crimson either.
It was kind of a bright red, which if you look at that old logo they use, it's a little bit brighter than crimson.
Mm. It looked very High School Musical away jersey.
I hate those jerseys. They look like girls basketball lettering to me. They look like, you mentioned High School Musical, they look like another Disney movie. I think it's called Double Teamed.
Yeah.
Those two blonde chicks, mm-hmm. which is not a good name for a kid's movie when you're talking about two blonde chicks, but no, I digress. No.
Also, kind of the worst, like, you know, doing like sports acting is usually bad.
Tough.
But it was all time bad in that movie.
Yeah, I see that on a video of that once a week of, have you seen this scene in Double Team?
Yeah, the pump fake she has.
Santiago Vescovi level of pump fakes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he could teach her a thing or two.
Which we were talking about that on the inbound. I was like, what do you think he drew up? He drew up a shot pump fake, a pass pump fake, a dribble pump fake. Every pump fake imaginable he drew up in that play in the timeout.
And then a behind-the-back pass.
To finish it off, baby. Yeah. You know what? Actually, that's going to be a pump fake too.
Okay.
And then, yeah. Then we'll see what happens after that.
I think that's a white chocolate move, right? Where he goes behind the back and it hits his other elbow and comes back to him. That is.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't go back to him. He just passes it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, whoever was on his right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a white chocolate move, Jason Williams. Yeah, no, I think too, kind of going into that, the you saw the veteranness. Don't think that's a word of this team though. Not only those guys kind of bowing up in the last minute and playing to their opponent, but also in a late timeout situation. I don't know what 3 minutes left maybe in that game, and Vescovi grabs the board and Rick Barnes just watches. And in his head, he might be going, "This dude's an idiot." But he lets it happen, and he lets the team play, and it worked out.
Yeah, I love that we just kind of took the whole saying of guards win in March, and we just went out there with five guards because our bigs were in foul trouble. And we're just like, okay, well, since that's the saying, let's prove it right.
Yeah, well, I mean, and another guy that's just didn't keep playing too well, and so that's why he's going to get overshadowed in this. Another guy you don't win this game without is – if Jordan Ganey doesn't go on that stretch where he's playing out of his mind in the first half, whew, that game gets out of hand early.
Yeah. I think he's such a streaky shooter. I think when he misses that first kind of bad miss, I think you take him out. I think you're done. He's done. Like, that's all you got. He's kind of like Kirby a little bit, where you just like, you get that
one pitch,
couple outs or an out or whatever you need, and you get him out.
I've seen Kirby Cannell throw one pitch. I like it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he stopped going to the hole. He was phenomenal. That's all he got, all his points.
That's when he's at his best. I understand he's a shooter, but I mean, I don't know what his average is. It can't be good from three.
Yeah, I don't know if he gets the shooting title anymore. I don't know. He's a shooter at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's kind of like false advertising.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, is he?
Meh. We'll see. But yeah, he was big on the first half there.
28% from
okay.
Three. It's not as bad as I thought, but it's still not great.
Well, yeah, I just don't think you can be a shooter and be 28%.
Yeah.
Show me another shooter with 28%.
Yeah, I just like those minutes. Like, I like Jordan Gainey around 14. I like Jemai Mashak should double Jordan Gainey's minutes, whatever. Whatever he gets, Jemai Mashak should double.
Yeah, no, I agree. It probably goes Tobey Awoko, Jemai Mashak, and then Jordan Gainey on how they should come off the bench.
Yeah, and that's Tobey Awoko. The reason he didn't – I mean, he was in foul trouble some, but the reason he didn't play more is because matchup. Like, that is a tough matchup for him. A team where Grant Nelson, Pringle, you know, those guys – are basically the center and they're out there on the perimeter shooting threes. Like that's a hard ask for Tobey Awoko. That's not where he thrives. And so that's why I don't think you saw him a lot last night, just because of matchups.
Well, that, and he probably would have played more too if a guy like Josiah wasn't playing well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Probably would have seen more rotation. Cause he did get some early, like his minutes all came pretty early and then he picks up two early fouls and he's sitting down.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat Adams. No Cam Carr siding.
I'm not too shocked.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I would like to see, I think it's we're undefeated when Cam Carr plays.
I mean, that makes sense. That doesn't sound like a crazy stat to me.
So I'm just all in just playing him like a minute just to like get him in the game just to make sure.
Hold on. We're also probably undefeated when playing. This is just a guess, but like Colin Coyne, probably undefeated. Right?
I mean, probably. Cam Carr has played in 12 games. Now, I don't know what those 12 games look like, but he played against Auburn.
He's averaged 4.6 minutes per game.
Okay.
No, he just hadn't played much this year. I was just giving a hard time into that. Yeah, when you empty the bench, you're probably winning those games. I know he's not quite empty the bench territory, but he's close to it.
I guess he didn't play against Auburn. He played against A&M.
He probably played against Alabama the first time because they lost by 20.
He didn't.
Really?
It is funny looking at this. The closest game that he's played in, Tennessee won 103-92 against Kentucky. The rest of them have been 20-plus points.
I love it. I love it. I like that we just apparently took it to A&M, or A&M, Alabama for 40 minutes last time.
Yeah. Nose to nose, baby. Yeah, this team's fun to watch. I mean, again, that's a tough environment to go into and win. You know, you mentioned kind of all the stuff that they had going to get them fired up and just fell flat on their face.
Yeah. And
being up at halftime at home, 12-0 run, getting beat.
Pretty gross. I blame the Mississippi State fan up front. Also want to kind of go into how much Nate Oates sucks, and I'm gonna go on a guess Rick Barnes hates him based on Cam Carr not playing in a 20-point loss last time. him arguing that foul on who'd they call that on?
I don't remember who it was, but
he fouled Dalton Connect in the corner, grabbed his entire forearm.
Mm-hmm.
They both argued it like it was an egregious thing to call. He should be thrown out of the game. You should not be allowed to coach college basketball if you argue that call. That's so bad. That, when you want to talk about referee abuse, that crap right there, it's embarrassing that he is allowed to plead his case with that call.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, he can't see it from his position. Number two, it's just bad. It's atrocious. And then number three, they said on the broadcast, why do you foul him there? It's a dumb foul to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot you could have probably argued in that game. That was not one of them.
That was not one of them. That wasn't even close to being one of them. It's worse than Bruce Pearl's technical. In my opinion.
Do you think his case was his arm was in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Bingo. That's it. Probably.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
He should have argued it.
I don't like Don Connect arguing that one where he just completely grabbed dude's hand either. You did it.
Yeah.
Now, he might have been saying that happened to me 3 minutes ago, which was also true. But you can't argue with the call.
Yeah.
I really like to take Nate Oates out back. And
dude, and like
the school coat he wears.
I think 2 or 3 years ago, everybody was like, dude, Nate Oates is the next like best coach in college basketball. And now he's just a freaking prick.
Yeah. I think last year he
really. No wonder why Danny White was like, I mean, we hired him. He won a lot of basketball games, but I got the hell out of there.
I think he really accepted the villain role, but I don't think he understood why he was hated. It's like, we don't hate you for a basketball coach. We hate you because one of your athletes participated in a murder.
Mm-hmm. He also sucks. Eric Musselman and Nate Oates, are they the same person? Have they been in the room, in like the same room at the same time?
Yeah.
Do we know that?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of coaches pumping up the crowd.
Yeah.
And they both are guilty of that. Just coach the basketball game.
Yeah, are those two guys and Eli Drinkwitz, are they from the same coaching tree of some sort somewhere?
Hey, just unbearable douchebags.
Yeah. Gotta be. Also,
I think I hate Nate Oates and Eric Musselman more because at least at one point they had a trajectory where like you just mentioned, where they were really respected coaches that were coaching really well. And they looked to be on the up and up, and then they just became crybabies.
And it is tough. I understand, like, not having coaches like Tony Vitello, Josh Heupel, Rick Barnes, you know, stand-up people. Not everybody can have what we have. So we are blessed, but I don't envy you because you are straight up.
Well, and unlike Musselman, if Tony Vitello took off his shirt, people would be cheering.
Yeah.
Instead of like being grossed out. So
how tall is
that? It's gotta be tough.
He looks like a short king.
5'6" maybe.
No offense to short kings out there, but
also speaking of short kings, Mark Sears isn't 6'1", right?
No.
When he's shooting free throws, I mean it looks like that ball's having to go 6 feet.
Well, he does have like the afro going on. So
they measure there.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
He lets that thing grow up.
Yeah. Smart. You don't see guys like Zakai Zeeler out here lying about their height.
He's 5'7". You're close.
I think that's a friendly roster. They don't officially measure coaches. That's a friendly.
Yeah, he spikes his hair up a little bit too.
That's a friendly weight or friendly height. You know, it's funny, Zakai Zeeler being always the shortest guy on the court, he plays so good no one can ever hit him with that. You're short. Ever.
Well, Alabama did it the last time we played, right?
Someone tried to do it this year, and they just got embarrassed by him. Maybe in Alabama.
Yeah, it was Pringle who said it. Like, I guess they were doing pregame warmups and needed.
That's right. Yeah, when they were huddled up there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they got dog walked again.
Yeah,
you talk more in warmups, Alabama. Please do it. Loser mentality. Do yeah. It. Keep it up.
You truly hate to see it.
So much loser mentality going on in Tuscaloosa now. I'd fall from grace, certainly.
I mean, Nick Saban retires and they just fall all to shit.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Actually, that was probably before Nick Saban. I guess, like, Brad Bohannon, was he the start of all this?
Aren't they undefeated right now, funny enough?
Yeah, they are undefeated. They're still crap.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that they still suck, but they are undefeated.
They are.
Brad Bohannon's still betting against them.
Oh, yeah.
He's going broke right now.
It's like me in South Carolina. I keep betting against them. I'm like, good God. So, I mean, we're safe on Tuesday. I'm betting on South Carolina. So, it's.
Did you bet on Alabama this weekend?
I did, yeah.
Yes. How much?
25.
All right. All right, yeah. So 25 on Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, pretty sick, but it's going to be worth it.
Think about if you doubled that bet and then you doubled this one, you'd win a lot of money on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I can just feel it. It just feels like it's going to happen, which is okay.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's fun. I'm just glad I'm going to break the streak of betting against South Carolina. I'm like, dude, they're not good. They're going to beat them. Florida leads the whole game.
Yeah.
Somehow loses. Unbelievable.
Which, by the way, would have been huge for us if South Carolina had lost.
Yeah, Florida, you suck. Okay.
They could go out and beat Alabama this week, though.
They're not going to because they suck.
Alabama's not as good as people want to pretend either, though.
No, they're not.
Just kidding. They're really good. That's why Tennessee beat them.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah. I don't have a lot else for this game. Huge game on Tuesday. Is it? That is Tuesday, right?
Pretty sure.
We don't have a Wednesday game. Good God.
Wait, do you want a Wednesday game?
No.
It is the 6th, which is Tuesday. Okay. Wednesday. All right.
It's Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. God. I thought I looked earlier and it was a Tuesday game. It's 7 p.m., so it's not that late. I think the other one was at 7 last Wednesday and almost ended at 10.
Ugh. Yeah, it's probably going to be another one of those free throw games, probably.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. I mean, I could go on and on about
it's
this
March.
Game, but it's March. It's March. It's March. Hey, you're 1-0 in March, baby.
Mm-hmm. Fired up. All right. Let's talk about the Vols at the combine a little bit.
Joe Milton was a combine player. He should just go to the combine every year.
I agree. And it's like, I mean, his performance, and I'm not trying to dog him, but his, like, he is the combine. That's the reason he beat out Hendon Hooker. Like, he can show out in practice in 7-on-7.
Yeah.
But when the lights come on, it just doesn't click all the time.
Well, and it's just a great example of, like, and every year you have guys at the combine that weren't much in college. They'll never be anything in the NFL that show out because they're really fast or they're really strong or they're just freak athletes that just aren't football players. And sometimes, like, there's combine, there's guys that are just built for combine events, and Joe Milton's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think only four players ran the 40, or four quarterbacks ran the 40, and Joe Milton wasn't one of them. I guess he probably does it at the pro day of some sort, but I guess with the NFL the way that it is, who cares what they're for?
Have you heard the theory about Ohio State's pro day? That their 40 yards is shorter?
I have heard this yards. Before. Yeah, yeah.
And many Ohio State guys haven't ran the combine 40. But they'll run it at the pro day.
Okay.
Say that they shorten their turf for a 40-yard stretch, and that's where they run it. I would love if that came out to be true. There should be a team out there, even if you just shorten it by a yard, so it's not nowhere near noticeable.
Dude, that's awesome. If that is the case, do that. Yeah. If that's the case, if they really, like, spend that much time to, like, shorten the turf, like, bring in new turf for that short 40-yard dash.
Well, I mean, what? You lose a yard in practice every year. I don't even think you have to bring in new turf. You just do it in the middle of the field, maybe somewhere you don't run. You know, the only time it would matter is if you're running full field, two-minute drill or something. You just never do that inside. So you just do it from, you know, 120 to, you know, the other 40 and do it there or something.
Okay. I was thinking they have this little patch.
That too. Somewhere. They have an area for the 40-yard dash.
Yeah, and they take it out and put it in just for the pro day.
I would love that too. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's.
I think you bring in fake weights for the bench press.
Okay.
You get 45-pound plates that only weigh 35 or something.
Yeah, have you seen those, like, guys at the gym where it's just like a regular looking dude and he's just like throwing up a ton of weight and people are just like bodybuilders in there. They're
exactly.
Like, what the heck? Yeah, that's what they should do.
Fully commit to those bits. Mm-hmm. Lean into them. What are they going to do?
Yeah. Or we have like Christian Coleman come out and run like every running back's 40, like Jalen Wright. Like he puts on a face kind of like Mrs. Doubtfire or Eddie Murphy used to do with.
I think Jalen Wright needs that though.
He doesn't. Maybe for Jabari Small or I don't know. We just got try guys. Who cares?
His clip went viral again this week.
Oh, yeah.
RG3 tweeted about it.
Yeah, and Christian Coleman said that his start is a lot better now, so he could run it faster.
What are you hearing? Like a four? He broke the record, didn't he, last time?
Yeah, he ran a 4.12.
There's no way he can run it faster. It's not physically possible. He has to do it. If he said it, he has to do it.
He said his get off is a lot better now.
He also may or may not have been doping when he did that.
That's true. That's true.
I just don't see how it's physically possible to run a faster 40 than he did last time. It wouldn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's unreal. But Jalen Wright had a really good combine. Or I guess we're talking about Joe Milton. I mean, again,
we're jumping back and forth.
He showed out. And he's going to in that environment. I mean, he can throw it on a rope. I mean, he can – his arm is going to wow you.
Yeah.
Now, in a game, the accuracy is an issue. And so, yeah, we'll see what kind of happens with him. I don't know if he's – somebody's going to fall in love with him at some point. You know, they're going to see this – they're going to see some of the throws that he made in college, see some of, you know, him running that. I don't know if it was against UT Martin or who it was against, where he runs that 80-yard run. They're going to see that and be like, oh, my God. I mean, freak. And he is a freak. But for whatever reason, it just never worked out for him in college when the lights came on.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. But I mean, we've been saying this from the get go. He's gonna get drafted.
Mm-hmm. But Jalen Wright, he ran a 4.38 was his second time, which I think was second among running backs at the combine. He also ran, I think, 15.1 miles per hour. Which was like the
– so it's got to be pretty high.
The best speed among running backs this year and faster than any running back posted last year when a couple were first-round picks. He had the best broad jump by running back since 2003. He was one of three running backs that run under a 4.4.
Okay.
Wow. Let's see what his – I think he was second among running backs in the – or fifth among running backs in the vertical jump. Who cares? It's a running back. But yeah, I mean, he's going to wow you. I mean, you watch that run against Georgia. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a meme from that play. Like, I thought we were winning that game. My sister, for my birthday, bought me a – she got a bobblehead made of me with me making that face when Jalen Wright scored that touchdown against Georgia.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, so where's it at?
It's up there. You want me to get it?
I don't think you've shown this to me.
Okay. I just got it yesterday.
Oh, okay. Kind of a late birthday gift, but I'm sorry, Lindsay. That was mean. This is a cool gift. I'm excited to see this. That's awesome. Where'd you get that made at?
Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, hair doesn't look too great, but...
Are you holding a beer?
Yeah.
What are you holding?
It looks like
generic beer.
It's the color of a Corona. Like nice. An end, but honestly, it was probably like a seltzer I snuck in.
No, you didn't sneak that in. No hoodies. No hoodies were worn that day.
Yeah. It's tough when you're not wearing a jacket.
Are we selling that in the store right now? Is that available for purchase?
Because I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it was. She was like, I can't wait till I give it to you, and she came over, and I just started dying laughing. Also, tried to put it on like our entryway table, and my wife vetoed that.
But, what?
Yeah. She said it's freaking her out, so I had to put it in my room.
That's messed up. I think you should be allowed to put it wherever you want.
Agreed. And then I don't think Kamal Haddon has done everything yet. I don't think he's ran the 40, but apparently he did really well, and he's going to do well too. I mean, he's a long corner. You know, had a really good season, but I think the winner And the guy who improved his stock the most probably so far this weekend is Jalen Wright, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people seem to be high on him already, too, so it's only building. I think he's got – I think there's probably hold-offs on him as an NFL back, but I think the more people see him, it'll only increase.
Yeah. Agreed.
Hey, Josh Heupel, shorten that 40 at the indoor. Let's see what will happen with him. Let him come out and run a 4.2, see what happens.
We can – I'm sure we can get some turf from somewhere. We can get this done.
Let's do it. Me and put you, us, let's sneak in.
Yeah, put us in charge of it, and we'll get it done for you. Don't worry about it.
100%.
Just leave the door open.
We can break some glass. I know a guy that can replace them. We're good.
All right. You got somebody to tell us about?
Yeah, I do. I need it. I don't know about you all. I've just had the weekend brain fog. So I need some Grade A Grounds. I need to wake me up. Grade A Grounds does the job every morning. I don't know if I could go through life without some of the best coffee that Kingsport, Tennessee has to offer. That's right. Grade A Grounds is a local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned and operated by two educators, both in the Johnson City area. They want to support community and students. And that's why not only are they making great coffee, but their main goal as a company is to give back to the students in their area. They do that by donating 5% of all their sales to a nonprofit organization that supports students all over the Tri-Cities area called Coalition for Kids. The money goes directly towards keeping a classroom at Coalition for Kids stocked with the necessary supplies needed for students. So go over to Grade A Grounds right now, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That'll have links to their website where you can purchase that. You also get to select the label for your coffee bag that are created by students. They work with the classroom, the art teachers in those classrooms directly to have students create those labels around a specific theme. So you're supporting kids. They're also making the great labels that your great coffee is going to come in. Can't wait. Honestly, Mondays suck, but I can't wait to make me a fresh pot of B is for Blueberry from Grade A Grounds. Go check them out right now. Shout out to Grade A Grounds. Use code GOVOLS. And that's going to get you, get it going to a, well, we're still working on that. I'll wait for that announcement. See when that comes, but go use promo code GOVOLS right now.
Do it. All right. Tennessee baseball. Another sweep in the books. Get the brooms out, baby.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
I mean, supposed to play 27 innings. Played 23.
23.
Is that right?
23. And bombs were hit throughout those 23.
No, less than that. 22 okay. Innings.
So not as much bubble gum for Xander this weekend. Then he didn't have to. Normally he's doing for 27 outs or 27 innings of outs.
Yeah.
Not having to do that.
Yeah, he probably got to save some for next week.
Exactly.
You do play five games this upcoming week, so I guess you got to save a little bit. so that was probably smart of him to make sure we got that done in that time. Yeah, just a good weekend. You outscored. They should have gave us 40. Another person scored, but they didn't. They called the game. But Tennessee officially outscores Bowling Green 39-8 in the season. Yeah, pretty rough. But a lot of bats going. Blake Burke, he found it.
It's a beach ball now.
He's hot. And I mean, around the country, just say your prayers. If Billy Amick, Blake Burke, Christian Moore, Kavar Sears, all four of those guys can stay hot. The guys behind them are hitting well, too. Man, it's going to be tough to beat Tennessee. And Tennessee's pitching a lot of arms right now, so we'll see kind of what – I mean, you're not really going to know what the rotation really looks like until probably SEC play, honestly. Maybe you see a little bit more firm against Illinois, who's a little bit better competition than Bowling Green. But Bowling Green came in here scoring a lot of runs. I think they scored like 15 against Memphis in a game. I don't think they'd score under 5. And Tennessee was able to just mow them down, especially on Friday and Saturday. Sunday got a little – gave up a couple runs in that sixth inning, but you had – you're just throwing guys in there to throw guys in there. You had a ball booted at second base. You didn't really have your starters in at all. But you're still knocking the cover off the baseball all weekend. So, fun to see. Loved it. And hopefully they can continue that. They got Kansas State on Tuesday. I think Southern Indiana on Wednesday. And then you have another home series against Illinois on the weekend.
Yeah. Some exciting, man. I mean, we've talked about this stretch of games. Just doesn't kind of feel like you can fully get going. But you get four total big-time opponents this week, I guess is how you'd frame it, since there's not really a Power 5. But however you want to frame that.
Yeah.
I guess the three of them are the same opponent, but they're three games, all right? We count them.
You got to.
Hopefully it's going to be prettier weather this week. I guess the weekday game was pretty, but this weekend was kind of bleh.
Yeah, today was pretty, but other than that, yeah, it wasn't. Right. I'm trying to look at Kansas State to see what they are.
Ooh. And we get to open SEC play with Alabama, by the way. We just talked about them being undefeated. It'd be funny to break that team, too.
Yes. I think Kansas State is 5-1.
Okay.
On the season so far. So, yeah, big game. Midweek game. And then you get Southern Indiana sandwiched in there. And then Illinois, who I think they've already played Wake Forest earlier in the year. So, they've had some good competition. So, yeah, just I just love the steady increase, which, honestly, Albany kind of looked better than Bowling Green, for being honest. Yeah, I mean, they hit the ball a lot better. Now our pitching was really good on Friday and Saturday, and you just kind of pitched everybody on Sunday and got a lot of guys some work. But, yeah, really liking what I'm seeing from this lineup. A.J. Causey getting that start on Sunday was fun to watch, so – yeah, we'll just continue to win. I think we're 11-1 right now. So, rolling. It's been fun.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, just watching guys. We've gotten to the fun version of Tennessee baseball where everyone just hits bombs.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said it before, but there is not a break in that lineup where I'm just like, I'm feeling comfortable as an opposing pitcher.
In the lineup, and then when they start bringing in – they start bringing guys in, it doesn't seem to get any easier for them either.
Yeah, everybody's raking right now. I don't know if we're just like throwing golf balls 98 miles an hour. And then when they see a baseball, they're like, oh, my God, I'm hammering this. I don't know what it is. Whatever we're doing, keep doing it.
Agreed. Don't fix it. Especially when it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yep.
Which, hot take. Josh Elander knows what he's doing.
He does. All right.
Best head coach in Tennessee baseball history. Would just like to note that.
That's what I heard. Guys, I got a good friend to tell you guys about as well. Go check out Roback, roback.com. We will get you 20% off your first purchase with promo code More Important Issues. They have the best quality polos, Q-zips, hoodies, T-shirts, joggers, pants, whatever you need, they got it. Again, I love their stuff. It's awesome. It doesn't wrinkle. It just feels good. You can use it for basically anything, church, work, golf, whatever you're doing. They got something for you. Go check them out. Roback.com. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase.
Do it right now.
Do it.
And also tune into the Backflip tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Yep.
We'll be back talking more of all baseball, Landon and Lil Deucey.
Yep. All right. Joey, if you want to get in here, I do want to – we've had some people saying that you're capping on the 8-1 hot dog review. So I would love to hear your take on it and see if, you know, defend the hot dog, defend the dog. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can back it up. I mean, if you want to call me out, call me out. Are people saying that they had it themselves and it was not 8-1 quality?
No, they're just saying like they don't know how it's 8-1.
Also, no ketchup?
No.
I thought we talked about this last year and you said you were going to go to ketchup.
Well, I didn't say I was going to, you know, I wasn't going to convert.
I'm still misunderstood then. I'm sorry.
So you're like mustard and onions? That's your like what you get on a dog?
Yeah.
God, your breast stinks.
No, it was good. I mean, it was 8-1. Like, it's not like it was a great, like, the, I don't know what else to say. I mean, for hot dog scale.
I'm with you. I think they're good. I backed you. When somebody came up to me and was like, dude, there's no way it's an 8-1. I'm like, well, have you had one? They're like, well, no, but it's just a ballpark dog. It can't be an 8-1.
Yeah, it's
whoa. That was their argument, is that it was a ballpark dog?
Yeah.
They haven't had a ballpark dog. Or they don't actually enjoy being at the ballpark.
Well, I did say like you gotta take in the whole picture a little bit.
Yeah,
you don't just grade first dog of the year. Yeah, like you haven't had one in a while. Like it's good.
Bingo. You're right.
I'm also super like, I mean, I gave the first one I've had. We did one before and it was like a bad score. The bun was very dry. I was like, oh, this isn't doing it. So, I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, biased. Like if it sucks, it sucks. And like, you guys know, like my scale, like what would you rate an iguani dog? Probably like on a good golf day summer, like an 8-7. Uh-huh.
It gets up to the nines, man. Exactly. When it's hitting, like, I mean, it's hitting.
I had one on Saturday. It was
And mine was like a half a step down on like that level. So 8-1, I think, is very fair.
I like it. I'm with you. I mean, here's it's hard to mess up a hot dog. I will say that. But a nice day, good bun, good dog. Tennessee's winning.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of external factors going into that.
Yeah. There's stuff that plays into it. It just isn't the dog. The whole atmosphere has to do with it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Good service. It was a good service, too.
I guess. That was great.
Cool. Well, there you go. Joey defended the dog, and it was an 8-1.
Come try it. Yeah. Like, I'll fight it.
So if you would have got ketchup on it, would it have like lowered it, or was the dog itself 8-1?
I feel like ketchup maybe would have been like a 7-8, just because I'd be like, oh, like this isn't as, you know.
Yeah.
My mustard, I mean, like, it's my thing. Like, that's not, but like for Caleb's pissed right now.
I'm with you. I just don't know. Like the onions thing is just weird to me. I hate onions. So
they dice onions.
I'm a cheesesteak guy. I'm so used to onions on cheesesteak. So it's just like it's a preference. I mean, I don't know. I'm just used to it.
Okay. You're a big onion guy.
I wish I could have saved the onion that they put on my chicken bacon ranch from Firehouse Subs. I mean, it looked like they hadn't even chopped that thing. It was humongous. Pretty egregious.
That reminds me, I went to McAllister's one time with people from work, and a guy got a sweet tea, and he was like, hey, can I get a lemon in that? And they're like, yeah, sure. They cut off like a sliver of the side of it and dropped that whole lemon in his drink.
That kind of rocks.
That's what I want most of the time. I hate when they're so bad of a slice that you can't even squeeze it, and like your fingers are covered, and like you're like, this is stupid.
It was so big that it splashed when she dropped it in there.
He lost some tea.
That kind of rocks.
Yeah, she could have filled it up like this much, and she would have put that lemon in, it would have been up to the top. It was incredible. All right. Most importance. Anybody got them? I'll go first if y'all don't have them available.
Go ahead.
Mine's a Campbell. Okay. The Campbells. Have you seen this?
I don't think so.
They brought their like whole workout facility almost on a trailer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're outside of Hampton Inn just freaking lifting in the morning. I mean, those guys, that's a baseball guy right there. Also a Hampton Inn. I mean, y'all are a good baseball team. Get your weight up a little bit.
Well, we don't know what kind of town they're playing. It might be the nicest place in town.
It might be. It might be. But, I mean, they might not even stayed in there. They might have been working out all night. We don't know.
Honestly, yeah.
But, yeah, I thought that rocked. I mean, that was very much like a travel baseball team. I mean, those guys aren't having, like, that stuff. But to be at a Hampton Inn just in the parking lot just broing out, that's a travel baseball thing to do.
100%. I've got my first one. Did you see that tractor trailer go off the bridge in Cincinnati?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see that? Dude. Oh my gosh. This is it hanging off.
Good God.
They rescued the driver. They went down on like a fire truck, like ladder, I guess. And then a dude rappelled down, got the driver out, saved their lives. How awesome is that?
How far of a drop was it?
I mean, it's a big bridge, it looks like. Good size bridge. Like, they would have died probably.
Oh my gosh.
That's the thing you dream of as a firefighter. You sit around just cooking meals all day, getting calls about, you know, some old lady who's locked out of her house or something. Like, you have nothing to do all day. And then you hear tractor trailer hanging over the bridge and you're like, let's effing go. Those are the times you go down the pole. Most of the time they just casually walk to the truck. That one, they're sliding down the pole for. They're amped.
Yeah, I mean, that's
why you become a firefighter.
That's the next episode of Chicago PD or Chicago Fire, either one of
whatever
them.
They are. Yeah, yeah. All the PDs.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome. Real. Also, like, how long was he like off that bridge? Because, dude, I couldn't imagine just sitting there waiting for help, like knowing
when you just like can't move.
Yeah, I mean, you're just like dead steel.
You can hear it teetering.
Oh,
yeah. There was piss and crap in the person's pants. I think it was a woman in their pants for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you've accepted death like 9 times at that point. By the time they get you out, like it's
also nasty. The like when they rappel down to you, and then you're like having to move to get to them. Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Scared of heights. Also, like, water kind of freaks me out a little bit too, especially like lake water. Ugh.
Oh, certain bridges freak me out. Do you remember that one in New Orleans that it felt like we were just straight up and down?
Yeah.
That one I hated. Oh, it made me feel so
uneasy. You do hate bridges. I remember like traveling.
Like, just when there was like that.
Yeah.
Or that really long one going in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, why am I over water for this long of amount of time? It makes me uneasy.
Where like are the roads?
Right. Like Henley Street Bridge. Bridges, very basic.
Yeah.
Bridges, cool. Don't freak me out. There's one in Charleston that I think they've torn it down in the meantime, but it was so narrow. You were like, you could like touch the other car next to you. You could like feel it swaying. I hated that bridge.
Dude, have you been to Cincinnati?
That's where that bridge is.
Oh,
yeah, I've driven through Cincinnati though, but I don't. Is there a freaky bridge there?
I mean, it's just like it's a bridge, but you're like underneath like another highway to get like into the city.
Gotcha.
And you're just like, it's dark.
Yeah.
And it's just almost like a bridge kind of like, yeah, it's awful. And it's one of those where it's tight and like you're going like 60 miles an hour, but
it's
on this bridge and you could like touch the car. It's
freaky. That's why I hated that Lake Charles bridge. Yeah. It was just like you could not see the end of it.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
No, I'm with you.
And then that one, I don't even think the one bridge that was straight up and down, I don't even think that was over water. I think it was just over another road. Did not like it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, props to them getting saved and props to the responders who.
Yeah.
Do the rescue. That's awesome.
And if you're an engineer that builds shitty bridges like that, F you. We don't like you.
You suck.
We stand against you on this podcast.
All right.
I've got kind of a split one. If you've got fails. I don't know where I don't there's not much context to this, but I kind of like it. So I think I lean most important, but I'll let you all decide. John Rothstein tweeted, 13 years ago, a friend from college had his engagement party in March. I was unable to attend. He was angry and the relationship was never the same, but I always felt that he wasn't truly a great guy. Then Kimball Walker happened. Life has a way of working itself out. Kind of rocks. That story kind of rocks. That Kimball Walker year was one of the more memorable March Madnesses for me. That team went through conference tournament play and into where they won the tournament and almost, I mean, perfect as you could be. And Kimball Walker was nasty.
Dude, I remember watching that game. I was a freshman in college, and we probably had 20 people in a dorm watching it on some, like, small TV.
Kimba was when we were in college?
I thought so.
No, I think Kimba was
– I'm thinking of maybe Shabazz.
Probably.
Okay.
Because they won 2 years later with Shabazz Napier.
Okay. Well, whoever it was that our freshman year of college, they wrote them.
Yeah, that's it. So I was about to say, I think Kimbo was junior year. So it was junior and then Shabazz freshman year.
Okay. So somebody wrote UConn on my chest, and I don't know why. I just remember that. Yeah, it was in pen too. Like it was the stupidest thing.
Sorry, Kimbo was our sophomore year, I think. They won in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all that. Great. Yeah, 2011, then 2014. So,
yeah, how does UConn get like? I understand like they're kind of a historic program, but especially with NIL, how are they getting these guys?
That's your good question.
I don't know. I mean, they're a really good basketball team this year too. So,
yeah,
I guess winning helps.
Winning certainly does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I have one from 11.7 podcast. I just thought this was hilarious because I was so invested in it. It said they tweeted, apparently Troy's bus driver got arrested, so Northwestern State had to send church vans to come pick them up from the hotel. This is why we love college baseball. And then a couple minutes later, they tweeted and said, update, nobody was arrested, and it was not church vans. It was a shuttle bus. Getting more information now. So what their initial tweet said, none of it was true.
None of it was true. I know. I was with you. I was incredibly disappointed as well.
Yeah, I was like, dude, what did he get arrested for? Because that's
awesome.
And what about that church? Just some random church coming to the rescue?
They were in on it, man.
Yeah. All right. Any other fails?
That's all I had. I had all those Alabama ones, just their series of unfortunate events that led to them absolutely getting dog walked by Tennessee.
Yeah.
Both scenarios. But yeah, that's all I had.
Awesome. All right, guys. That's all we got. Thank y'all for listening in. I hope y'all have a good Monday. And we'll see you back on Thursday, hopefully talking about two Tennessee baseball wins and then just an absolute stomping of South Carolina on Tuesday. Looking forward to it. Thank y'all again. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.